Stop. Stop. Will you? Stop, Dave. Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
All right, here we are. This is a special version of the Hour of Truth, a state sovereignty show brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Radio. Missouri Grassroots Radio is an offshoot of Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and we're here tonight for a special reason. This is the Million Dollar Message. I'm Dave, and we'll be here tonight. Tomorrow and Saturday. We'll be here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week. We're fairly well out there, I believe, as out there as we can afford to be. We could probably get out there by spending more money, but we're not here to spend money. Missouri Grassroots Coalition is an organization of other groups. It's an umbrella organization for patriot groups throughout the state of Missouri. We've gotten out there to as many of them as we can with this message. We've gotten out to as many individuals as we can. Let's be serious now and do the math. We have about 20,000 regular listeners at Missouri Grassroots Radio. If each of you brings along five, we're barely going to get 100,000 people involved. So this is something that is going to take some networking. It's going to take some help from you listeners. If you're listening to this on the archived podcast, please come join us on Friday or Saturday or any one of the 3 days next week. We're not asking you to stay the entire 2 hours. All we're asking you to do is log on, talk to our call screeners, and make a pledge. We're not asking you to give us any money. We don't collect money here. Missouri Grassroots Radio is not a 401c3. We are not set up to take any kind of donations or money. All we're asking you to do is make a pledge. Make a pledge to send $10 to two campaigns. We're going to get into those details in just a minute. I want to thank my call screeners, Eric and Melanie, for coming along tonight to help out. I want you folks to keep them very busy. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, I'm doing okay. And yourself?
I'm great. Thanks for coming along and helping out. How you doing, Melanie?
Doing just fine. How about you?
I'm great. This is Melanie and Eric. They'll be taking your calls, so all you ladies out there, call in and talk to Eric, and all you guys out there, call in and talk to Melanie, and we'll all be friends. So here's basically what happens. Early in the session, and when I say early in the session, this legislative session is coming to a close. Tomorrow is the last day, if you don't realize it, of the 2014 legislative session. Their time is up. As is usual, all of the things that were introduced back in January are just now being talked about. If you've been reading the paper, if you've been watching what's going on, you'll see that we're in our normal routine run of things. They introduce a lot of bills in January. Then they go off to golf tournaments and baseball games sponsored by lobbyists for about 3 months, and then along toward May, they actually start talking about the things that they introduced in January, and a flurry of activity happens in the last 3 or 4 days of the session. Many things are dying, but and many bad things are finding life. For example, yesterday they just discussed, for the better part of the day, Medicaid expansion. At the moment, that bill is dead. But these are the things that should have been talked about for 3 or 4 months. So back in January, a representative named Mike Moon, and for those of you who aren't from this southwest part of Missouri, Mike's a great guy. He's a constitutionalist. He believes in smaller government. He is, for all intents and purposes, a libertarian. He introduced a bill to impeach Governor Nixon. Now, there were 3 bills introduced to impeach Governor Nixon, and we've talked at length about those 3 bills here for the last 4 months. The first bill was introduced by Nick Marshall, and it sought to impeach Governor Nixon because he said that gay people married in another state who had a recognized marriage could file a joint Missouri tax return. Now, the Missouri Constitution specifically says, and I'm sorry, I should have this open in front of me. I don't. I have the book in front of me, but I'm not going to go searching for it while we're on the air. So I can't tell you chapter and verse. The Missouri Constitution specifically says that to be recognized in the state of Missouri, a marriage must be between a man, that's a human being of male descent, of male gender, and a female, that's a human being of female gender. You can tell the difference between the two generally at a glance. And so the contention was in that article of impeachment that Governor Nixon violated the Constitution by suggesting that the state of Missouri might recognize a marriage between 2 men and or 2 women by allowing them to file a joint state return. Now, I don't know how many of you actually file taxes. I would assume a good number of you. But you'll recall, whether you're married or not, that near the top of your tax form, it suggests, and it is factual, that Missouri law requires you, if you file a joint federal return, to file a joint Missouri return. Now, this is why Nick Marshall's specific article of impeachment didn't have legs under it. There was no move by this legislature to change that law. So if 2 guys are married in Massachusetts and move to Missouri, or 2 women are married in California and move to Missouri, they, of course, will file a joint federal return because the Defense of Marriage Act was thrown out. The federal government does recognize that those 2 people as married for tax purposes. They will file a joint federal return. And now you've got this Missouri law that requires those 2 individuals, requires them to file a joint Missouri return because for no other reason than the fact that they filed a joint federal return. So I kind of dismiss that article of impeachment. And along comes Rick Bratton. Now, he introduced an article of impeachment against the governor that attempted to impeach the governor for not punishing or in some way chastising or firing those individuals in his administration responsible for the release to the federal government of the concealed carry data list. If you'll remember, the governor's administration, the pollen count is high. The governor's administration did release to the federal government on 3 different occasions all of the list of people in the state of Missouri who have concealed carry permits. Now, I don't know if that applies to you or not, but what I do know is that Missouri law specifically forbade the release of those names to the federal government. Missouri law specifically forbids the governor from any kind of real ID action. Both of those legal stipulations were violated. Now, if this Congress, if this legislative body is serious about this, then what they need to do is they need to find a smoking gun that leads directly to the seat behind Governor Jay Nixon's desk. And then they need to impeach the governor for releasing the names. You cannot, in my mind, expect that any halfway decent defense attorney could not get the governor excused because he, quote-unquote, didn't punish someone in his administration for doing something. You're talking personnel actions there. There's no constitutional responsibility by the governor to punish anyone or to do anything to anyone for doing something wrong. So along comes this article of impeachment from Mike Moon. Now, here's the one that really works. There are five open seats in the state legislature, five empty chairs. When the legislature met this morning, five chairs were empty. One of those chairs was emptied when Representative Smith or Jones went to Washington, D.C. from the, you'll remember back in the general election of 2012, there was a representative, I want to say Hartzler, but that's not right. She's from down around here. Let's see. Let me get my two accomplices on the line here. Woman representative who resigned just after being elected. Eric, Melanie?
Haven't a clue off the top of my head.
Yeah, me neither.
Are you, the one who took her place?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the name.
Yeah, I don't either. But anyway, she basically got elected so that the local, specifically so that the local Republican committee could choose her replacement. She got elected knowing she was going to resign within a week of being elected to take this lobbyist position. And what she had was a serious contender in Bob Parker, and she didn't want Parker to win. She had the name recognition. She had the party backing, and hang on to this because party backing is going to be important later in our conversation. She had the party backing. She had the name recognition. So she went ahead and ran in the primary, beating Bob Parker out. And then she went on, of course, because she's in a very Republican district, went on to win the seat and then proceeded to resign so that the central committee could control who would run for that seat in the special election. Now, Jason Smith, then they filled that seat. The governor filled that seat right away, and I don't want to say the governor filled the seat because the governor doesn't fill seats. The governor called a writ of special election right away after the resignation. The seat was filled by Jason Smith. Jason Smith then ends up Jason Smith. Okay, let me back up for a moment. This woman, my brain is trying to dual task here because it bugs me that I can't remember the name of this woman. I'm getting to the age right now, kids, where I would much rather have never known something than have known it and forgotten it. But anyway, this woman resigns. Jason Smith runs for her seat, wins, and goes to Washington, D.C. Jason Smith was a legislator, and so that seat in the Missouri legislature becomes empty. Now, this all happens before the very first day of the 2014 session. That seat has been empty ever since. In addition, the governor reached down into the House of Representatives and selected for a role in for a minor league position in the Department of Corrections, a Republican to appoint, vacating another seat. And then there were a couple of resignations. There was a death recently. And what we end up with is five empty seats in the House of Representatives, one of those seats empty for the entire term. The constitutional requirement is for the governor to call a writ of election without delay to fill those seats. Now, we can argue a bit, I guess, with Governor Nixon's defense attorneys about what the term without delay means. But no one is going to be able to contend that without delay equals a year. A year ago, Jason Smith went to Washington, D.C. No one is going to be able to contend that without delay is an entire legislative session. So Mike Moon introduces these articles of impeachment to suggest that the governor of the state of Missouri reneged on his constitutional duty to appoint to issue a writ of special election to fill these seats. This is true. But it's not just that. It's not just an empty seat. Brothers and sisters, there are Joanne Emerson. Thank you, Eric. That's exactly right. Joanne Emerson. There are a little over 280,000 people. 280,000 people. That's more than a quarter of a million people in the state of Missouri tonight. During these crucial votes, during the crucial votes on the Second Amendment Preservation Act, during the crucial votes on Medicaid expansion, during the crucial votes on the paper ballot, the crucial votes that are coming up this week on that impact homeschooling and school transfers, the crucial votes that happened the last 2 weeks on budgets, during these crucial votes, there are 250,000 people in the state of Missouri that are not represented. Let that sink in for a moment. Listen to me. Back in Philadelphia, the issue of representation, of how people would be represented in their government, almost brought the talks to a close. We almost didn't have a United States of America over the way people are represented in their government, over that issue, over the issues of representation. The founders almost went home from the convention empty-handed. A last-minute compromise brought them back to the table. That's how important those 280,000 unrepresented people are to the founders of this country. Now, what happened next? We're back in January, and Mike Moon introduces this article of impeachment suggesting that the governor disenfranchised intentionally and maliciously 280,000 5,000 Missourians, stripped them of representation in Jefferson City, stripped them of their basic right in a republic, of their basic Republican means for directing their own government, for consenting to their government. And it sat there. That article of impeachment sat there and sat there and sat there. Finally, we made enough noise in the grassroots. We talked to Mike Weekly on this show. We all of us, wrote our representatives. We wrote to the Speaker of the House. We wrote to the powers in the House that make these kinds of decisions. Finally, in early April, it gets referred to a committee. Something that should have happened the day after it was read. Now here's the, if you're not totally familiar with the way the legislature works, here's how it works. You introduce a bill. Now, you don't get, I mean, it seems like to me, and I'm sure it seems to you like, a legislator who represents you should stand up and raise his hand and say, Mr. Speaker, I have a bill I want to introduce. I want to introduce this bill that says people can't have bird baths deeper than 7 inches in their front yard, because someone's cat might drown in it. And then everyone in the House, he should read his bill, blah, 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 bird bath, blah, 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 7 inches, blah, 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 cat drown. And everybody in the House should raise their hand yes or should raise their hand no. It doesn't work that way. You've got to take something that's introduced, and then you've got to funnel it to a committee of elite people, of 7 or 8 people, who look at it and study it, see what it's going to cost, and see what's involved, and see what rules need to be changed to make it happen, and see whether it's constitutional or not. And, well, they don't really do that. The Constitution thing doesn't enter into it anywhere. And see whether, and then they sit around and they chat about it for a while. Then they do have a public hearing where you and me can go up and sit and give some testimony and say, I don't like that bill because I don't want my cat to drown. Or you can say, well, I do like that bill because, I don't want my cat to drown. I do want my cat to drown. Whatever. The public can come and give testimony, and these things happen. And if you're an active member of the grassroots, you've been involved in these things, and or you've used our buddy Ron Calzone to send some witness forms in here or there, so that your testimony gets at least read by the legislature and in the committee, and then the committee takes a vote. When this is all done, the committee then takes a vote as to whether this is a worthwhile endeavor. So a committee of 7 or 8 or 10 people will take a vote, and they'll decide whether or not, if your representative isn't on the committee, will decide whether or not your representative actually gets to vote on whether or not to make the bird bath bill a law. If they so decide in this elite committee, then your bill can pass out of the committee and actually go finally to the House of Representatives for a vote by the House of Representatives. Okay, so that's just a brief little overview of how it works. Well, Mike Moon's articles of impeachment finally got referred to a committee in April. The committee let it sit. They didn't do anything with it. Again, there was thunder and there was pounding and there was screaming from the people of the state of Missouri to the chairman of this committee, Stan Cox, and to the Speaker of the House, Tim Jones. Now, Tim Jones had made it clear within days of the articles of impeachment being presented that he was not in favor of this. Stan Cox pretty much works for Tim Jones. So that's why we continued to pressure the Speaker of the House. Finally, under immense pressure, the House chair or the committee chairman, Stanley Cox, from Sedalia, decided that they would have to have a public hearing on these articles of impeachment. So they scheduled the public hearing for noon on a Thursday, the noon lunch recess. Now, I say that this was a very inconvenient time for Missourians, but as a caveat, I do want you to know that they can't schedule any kind of committee hearing during a regular session. So anytime the House is in session, they can't be off having a committee hearing. They've got to schedule it during a House recess. A lot of them are done in the mornings before the House meets. A lot of them are done in the evening after the House meets. A lot of them are done the House doesn't meet on Friday during the regular session. A lot of them are done on Fridays during the regular session. But, of course, this bill was not brought up even to a committee during the regular session. So we're stuck with this Thursday noon committee that is, by design, only going to be allowed to last an hour because the House is coming back in session. Well, they don't get done, of course. They've got three articles of impeachment to hear public input on. So they stretch the thing out till the next Thursday, not Friday, not Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, the next Thursday at lunch. Finally, they finish 2 days of hearings, stretched over a week, for 2 hours, and then it goes back to the committee and it sits, and nothing happens. And these are, you've heard the things that I know for a fact. Now, I'm telling you now, at this point forward, what I've heard. Okay? I've heard it from reliable sources. I believe it to be true, but I didn't witness any of this. I don't know any of this, and I didn't talk to anyone who actually sat in this committee room. A whip was taken. Now, a whip is where they say, okay, within a committee or within the legislative body, who's going to vote for this, who's not going to vote for this? Is this going to live or die when it comes to a vote? And the count indicated that should a vote be taken, the articles of impeachment would actually advance to the House of Representatives for a full House vote. That is, it would get out of that committee, it would survive the committee, and it would be advanced to the House. What happens next is of paramount importance to the million-dollar message, folks. The sponsor of this bill would traditionally be called before any action was taken and told what action was going to be taken. Before any action is taken, the members of the committee would at least be courtesy notified. But what happened next is the members of the committee and the bill's sponsors, and we're talking, when I say bill's sponsors, all three articles of impeachment lived or died together. The bill's sponsors and the members of the committee woke up one morning to read in the newspaper that Stanley Cox, the chairman of the committee, had decided they were not even going to vote on the articles of impeachment. Stanley Cox was quoted in the paper as saying the majority on the committee while they understood, I'm paraphrasing here, while they understood that what the governor did was wrong, that probably it was unconstitutional. Probably it was unconstitutional, did not rise to the level of impeachment. While it was unconstitutional, it did not rise to the level of impeachment. No members of this committee had even been asked or told that this was coming. When queried by some members of the committee as to why they were blindsided, Stanley Cox's comeback was, well, I had to tell somebody first, you know. Well, that somebody happens to be the press. Mike Moon immediately, and by immediately I mean that day, started a discharge petition. He, not Mike Moon and several others, let me put it that way, started a discharge petition to try and get this thing out. A discharge petition is what the entire House of Representatives can do. They needed 55 signatures. And it's something the House of Representatives can do that says to a committee, get that thing to us. We want to vote on it. In other words, after the committee's had its hearings and the committee has decided not to move the item out of committee and to the full House, a discharge petition says to the committee, we demand that you move that out to the floor so we can vote on it. Here's what's going to be interesting. Okay, you now have a committee, and you have members of this committee, Republican members of this committee, who are not seeking re-election this term. Well, that isn't true. Well, some aren't seeking re-election this term, but the rest of them who are seeking re-election are in non-primary races. The Republicans on that committee, aside from Stanley Cox, are Representative Elmer, Carnejo, Haar, Higdon, Lira, Marshall, and Richardson. Almost to a person claiming, oh, I was behind that. I really liked that. I want to see whose names are on that discharge petition. I think we, the people, have a right to see who signed that discharge petition ordering Stanley Cox. It's not enough to get it out. I mean, the thing is over, folks. It's over. Tomorrow morning is the end of the tomorrow night is the end of the legislative session. There's no time to sit on the calendar now to come up to a vote. It's over. Nixon's won. And 280,000 people have been unrepresented for an entire term, and that's okay with Stanley Cox. Is it okay with these other members? Now, I called my legislator and was told by his legislative assistant that his name was on that petition. I want to see who signed that discharge petition. It was short 55, or it would have been a done deal. So why are we here? Why are we doing this million-dollar message, and what is the million-dollar message? It's time, brothers and sisters. It is time. I mean, this is the single most important bill to face the House of Representatives this legislative term. I know the Second Amendment Preservation Act has been wrangled up there, and that's important. I know that we had to override the governor's veto to even get a semblance of a tax cut, and that's important. I know they've dealt with a lot of important things up there. But we are talking, brothers and sisters, about 280,000, a quarter of a million people with empty seats in the House of Representatives, in the representative body of their government. 280,000 people with no voice in the seat of power. How much more important does it get? Does that rise to the level of the importance of a 0.1% tax cut? Does that rise to the level of importance of the Second Amendment Preservation Act? I say yes. I say whether or not a quarter of a million people have no voice in the seat of power is the most important question facing a republic. There is nothing more important than the representation of people in their government. I can't believe that you haven't already called in if you're in one of these five districts. One of these five districts is a Democratic district. I can't believe, even if you're a Democrat, that the fact that your seat is empty doesn't infuriate you at this governor. Further, we have a battle cry that is 300 years old in this country about people paying taxes without being represented. If you're in one of these five districts, I withhold my income tax. It's that important. You know, these people are up here voting on a budget on what to do with your tax money, on what to do with money they took from you, and you're not represented in that vote. Stanley Cox, the guy who single-handedly killed the article of impeachment against the governor for disenfranchising 280,000 people. He's termed out. He can't run again for a legislative seat. So what's he going to do? Anybody got a guess? He's going to go back home to Pettis County. And he's going to run. Now, listen, we've been here for 35 minutes now talking about the integrity of the people in Jefferson City, and specifically about the integrity of a man who would kill the most important piece of legislation for his political gain, and then without telling anyone, make claims to the press that the majority of his committee didn't see it that way when all indications are otherwise. This man is seeking a circuit judge seat. A circuit judge seat. You know, the guy who decides what the evidence is that can be presented in a trial. The guy who decides whether someone is guilty or innocent. The guy who decides whether someone spends no time or 10 years. The guy whose political morality is already clearly for sale. He is being challenged in a primary for that judgeship by a guy named Jeff Middlehauser. Now, I don't know anything about Jeff Middlehauser except what I've read in the papers. I've Googled him. I encourage you to do the same. I'll try to get him on a show between now and the primary. I don't want him on one of these six nights because I want to make it clear to all of you that what we're doing here is neither endorsed nor asked for by either one of the campaigns that would benefit from this. This is us sending a message, hopefully. Jeff Middlehauser has been, for decades, the elected prosecutor of Pettis County. And as such, the people of Pettis County have liked his work enough to have elected him on several numerous occasions. When it comes to what's good for the people of Pettis County, I'm willing to set by in November without any interference and let the people of Pettis County decide between the Democrat and Jeff Middlehauser. I am not willing to set aside quietly and let the guy dictated, dictator, that's the only word for it, who dictated to you that you could not impeach your governor, that your representative in the House could not even have a say on this bill, who single-handedly decided that violating the Constitution maliciously and blatantly was a serious problem but didn't rise to the level of impeachment, to go without a message from us, from there to a circuit judge seat. I am not willing to quietly let this man pass on what he's done and take a circuit judge position. I hope you're not too. Now, whatever happened to Mike Moon, the guy that started this all by having the gall to suggest that the governor of the state of Missouri owed it to the people of the state of Missouri to fulfill his constitutional duty and get them some representative government, a representative voice in the seat of power. Whatever happened to him? Well, because of his arrogance, because he had the audacity to suggest that a sitting governor ought to do his job, because he had the nerve to say, we're here to serve the people, not the other way around, Republicans have mounted a primary against Mike Moon. They reached down and picked a name that's well known in the district. The name was Julie Ruzicka. Flashback with me to Don Ruzicka. If you live in this part of the country, you remember the name. I don't know if you remember the name if you live in other parts of the state, but you'll remember the incident. Last legislative session, just to show that what happened this legislative session isn't something new and exciting in the world of politics, with a formidable Republican majority, but not quite a supermajority, Governor Nixon reaches down once again and selects a Republican in the House of Representatives, and again to a minor league position in the Department of Corrections. Don Rizicka, because you when the governor asks you to do something, you can't say no. Accepted the position, vacating his seat on the majority in the House, handing Governor Nixon a weakened Republican majority, and moved on into this seat. Now they reached down from the Republican power seats, and they've chosen his wife, Julie Rizicka, with some name recognition, and probably a woman with political aspirations. I would imagine she wants to sit in a seat on the Department of line painting in the middle of the road or something, you know, where they decide whether the lines in the middle of the road should be 17 or 14 inches apart. That's one of those important committees like that where the governor could reach down and grab her. I'm sure that's what she has her eye on. But she's from Mount Vernon, the most populous part of the legislative district. And they've used her to mount a primary against Mike Moon. Now, Mike Moon is well-known and well-liked in his legislative district. I don't want to underplay that. I don't want to make it sound like Mike's in some kind of serious trouble here. But this isn't... this isn't a minor thing. This isn't a minor challenge. This isn't some upstart, you know, Joe the plumber from Podunk, Missouri, who nobody ever heard of and who, you know, who thinks the KKK is a great thing, kind of challenge. This is a formidable challenge with party money and party backing. There's going to be TV. There's going to be radio. There's going to be all kinds of banners and signs and hell, maybe a parade. Who knows? For Julie Rizicka, all sponsored by the party elite. And Mike Moon needs your backing. So what we're asking for here tonight is the beginning of a million-dollar message. This is the first night. We're asking just to get a start here, okay? We want to end up with 100,000 people all over the state, not just from two legislators, not just from a circuit, and a legislative district, people from all over the state who will stand together and say, Stanley Cox, we reject your politics. And will say, Mike Moon, we support your politics. Who will say, we are the people and we are taking our government back. You govern with the consent of us, and Stanley Cox, we do not consent. You govern at the will of the people, and Mike Moon, we support you. Will 100,000 Missourians join in here? Now listen, folks, I'm telling you right now, we're asking for a lot. We're asking for $1 million to the campaign of Mike Moon. And we're asking for $1 million to the campaign of Jeff Miltenhauser. Now, that is a lot of money. That is an unheard of amount of money for a representative district race. That is an unheard of amount of money for a circuit judge seat race. That is why we're asking for it. This message cannot be missed. Do you understand? I mean, we can call legislators all day long, and we do. We can write all kinds of witness forms, and we do. We can make all kinds of Facebook postings and Twitter postings and send emails. We can have meetings, and we do, and we should, and we always should. But these are messages that are just part of the ebb and flow of politics to these guys. These are messages that, I mean, even if one legislator gets, and my legislator told me once, 10 phone calls. I mean, that's how inactive we are. That's how inactive we are as a political body in our own republic. 10 phone calls turns heads for a legislator. But that's 10 phone calls for one guy and 10 phone calls for another guy and 5 phone calls for this woman and 12 phone calls for that woman. And that might turn her head or his head, and it might even change his vote or her vote, but it's not a unified message from the people of the state of Missouri that is so loud and so clear that it can't be missed. This is not only about a message to Stanley Cox that we won't take this crap anymore. This is not only about a message to Mike Moon that we support you. Now, those are messages, but those aren't the message. What is, who is the message directed at? Is it directed at Mike Moon? Mike, we support you. Is it directed at Stanley Cox? Stanley, we reject you. Now, those are nice little side effects. It's a nice side effect to say openly and loudly to Stanley Cox, we reject you personally. It's a nice little side effect to say to Mike Moon, we support you personally in your endeavors. But there's a bigger message and there's a bigger target audience for the message. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the message.
To cold climb, come springtime. So let me hear you say, my love, I'm gonna stand my ground. They rise to me and blow them down. I am gonna stand my ground.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
So we write to our congressman with
right, we're back. So the message, to Mike Moon should be clear. The message to Stanley Cox should be clear. But the message, brothers and sisters, that you need to send is to the 2015 legislature. The message that you need to think we're sending here is to any and all people who would pick up the mantle of governance, who would pick up the gauntlet of leadership in the state government. The message they should be getting is, you govern at our consent. And if you do what we sent you up there to do, we will support you. And if you don't, we will be warriors against you. If you don't do your duty to protect and defend the Republic, there will be hell to pay. What we're asking you to do is call 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835, and pledge tonight to donate $10 only, $10, to the campaign of Mike Moon and to the campaign of Jeff Middlehauser. Both of these people stand against this government that wants to dictate to you rather than represent you. Both of these people are under direct attack by this monster that calls itself your sovereign government. We've talked here for years on this show about the sovereignty of the people and how that sovereignty becomes a sovereign state. This is your state. Your state is the most powerful building block of the American Republic. And you, whether you like it or not, have an equal share in that state. You may not like it, but Stanley Cox speaks for you. You are sovereign. This is your state. And you may not like it, but Stanley Cox for you. That should piss you off. That should be all it takes to make you angry. This man's talking for me. This man is talking for me when he says, yeah, we know it's not constitutional, but yeah, we'll let it slide this time. This guy's talking for you when he says, ah, Jay, baby, we'll let it go. We're not going to do anything this time. Don't let it happen again. What? You're talking for me when you say that? You know, it's easy to set back, isn't it, and say, well, I'm not in Pettis County. He's not my representative. When he assumes the power of a committee chairmanship, you become his constituent. He spoke for you when he said, well, I'm not even going to give Eric Burleson a shot at this one. What? Yeah. I don't think this rises to the level of impeachment, so I'm not even going to give anybody else's representative a chance to vote on this. When you seek that level of power, you become everyone's constituent, or everyone becomes your constituent. When you rise to the level that you can single-handedly speak for every Missourian to the press, when you say, yeah, the governor screwed up, but it's not worth punishing him for, then you work for everyone. Yes, Stanley Cox works for you. And as such, he speaks for you. Call 347-677-1835 and make a $10 pledge to Mike Moon and to Jeff Middlehouse. Say no to Stanley Cox and say yes to Mike Moon. And send this message to all who would run for office. Send this unified message that cannot be missed. And then go out and tell 5 people or 10 people that we'll be here tomorrow and Friday. Or and Saturday, tomorrow being Friday, and we'll be here next week so that they can get in on the message. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm disappointed by the turnout so far tonight. I mean, we've been out there pushing this thing for 2 weeks. And pushing it pretty hard. I can't believe that there aren't 100,000 people in the state of Missouri who don't think this is a message that needs to be sent. Where are you, folks? I mean, we see a lot of talk. We hear a lot of talk. We're not asking you folks to send $100. You know? We're not asking for a tithe here. We're asking for $20 and 5 minutes of your time on the telephone. We're not asking you to break a sweat. We're asking for you to stand up and say, this is our government, and we're taking it back in a message loud enough and firm enough that it can't be missed. We're not taking your payments here tonight. You don't have to have a credit card in your hand when you call. You don't have to give us access to your bank account. We're not collecting money. We're asking you to make a promise to send $10 to Mike Moon and $10 to Jeff Middlehauser to beat Stanley Cox and to beat Julie Ruzicka to take back your government, the government of, by, and for the people, happens at the state level, folks. The federal government doesn't belong to the people. We've talked about that 1,000 times. Washington, D.C. doesn't belong to you and me. It belongs to the states. And I'm not saying that it's gotten out of hand and we've lost control of it. I'm saying that in its purest form, it does not belong to you and me. The federal government is a compact of the 50 states. The 50 states that belong to you and me. This is the building block level of Republican government, your state. It's the level you own. You're willing to sit by and let this happen without even saying anything? Without even doing anything? You know, I so often want to get in the mantra of those negatives who look at things like Obamacare and say, well, you know, people deserve what they get. I so often get discouraged and look around at the Stanley Coxes and the Tim Joneses and feel like I want to just stand up on a mountain somewhere and yell out, you know, I told you so. You deserve what you get. But nobody deserves this. Nobody deserves this. How's it going over there, Melanie?
It's going all right, Dave.
We haven't had any calls yet, have we?
We haven't. And I had a question for you. So I'm under the understanding that there are some lawsuits currently underway for the lack of representation in some of the areas of Missouri.
There are. There are. There are some people who are actually suing. Now, what are they going to get? I mean, that's the question. This was the teeth of the Constitution here that we were bearing with this. I mean, what? So you sue the governor, and the court says, yes, Jay Nixon, you should have done your constitutional duty. So what are these people going to get?
Is that taxpayer money? I mean, is that state tax money that's going to pay the settlement of that lawsuit?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I can't imagine for the life of me what damages are going to be able to be assessed for something like that. I mean, you're going to get a definitive statement from a court that says, yeah, Governor, you should have done this. You did wrong, but a court can't remove the governor. A court can assign monetary damages. I guess they could assign the damages in the form of the taxes, yeah, that those people paid. Is that what they're – do you know? Is that what they're seeking in damages?
I'm not sure, but I would assume that if the plaintiffs are asking for a refund of their taxes, then that would apply to the entire district. And my question would be, where is that money going to come from if they win?
Well, yeah.
Are we going to be further taxed because of this, even the ones of us who are represented? Is the state going to have to fork over the money?
Well, that would be a
good
question.
More money.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, if the state loses and the state loses a large monetary settlement, then, yeah, the rest of us taxpayers are going to be paying that bill. There's no place else the state gets its money. And, I mean, it doesn't print money like the federal government does.
And now last I heard that the pending suit that I know about was going on for – this is an unrepresented for going on 500 days?
The
Rolla region?
Yeah, that would be Well, I mean, maybe it would be 500 days before it actually gets a court day. It's not quite been 365 days yet since Jason Smith left, has it? No. It will be 420 something days before the special election, which has actually been set now for August, the same day as the primary, by the way, to mount the ballot confusion.
I'll point out, as far as Mike Moon is concerned, his district went unrepresented for a longer than reasonable amount of time, and it took people from Lawrence County having to threaten to sue to even get that special election that was called for Mike Moon to run for the vacancy created by Jay Nixon. So that was another example. It's probably a reason why Mike has a special heart for making sure that people are represented, is because he had to fight for an election.
And who was his opponent in the? Oh, that he didn't have a primary.
He didn't. No primary.
Right.
Because the central committee appointed.
And then he fought off who in the Democrat?
Charlie Dake, and he was a very well-known man in the area because he was the local large animal veterinarian. So it was power grab.
In fairness, Democrats don't win there, do they?
Not normally, but everyone loves the large animal vet.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about the fact that Charlie Dake is a well-known name. I didn't even know who Mike had run against, but when you said Charlie Dake, I know the name.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go ahead and get some discussion going here. I'm going to bring Eric on in. Eric, you were on the central committee down there that put Mike up for that spot, right? Eric?
Sorry,
are you
Dave, I had to take that off of mute.
Oh, that's all right.
No problem. But, yes, I was on the committee. My wife and I are the committee man and committee woman for our local townships, and we were on at the time that special election happened.
Well, all right, listen up, folks. It's 347-677-1835. We're asking for is a pledge to send this message. Eric and Melanie, they're on the line now, and they'll be ready to take your call. So, Eric, I don't want to get into the workings of what happened at the committee, but was that a pretty clear-cut choice down there?
No, actually we had a number of candidates in that special election, and we ended up going through quite a few rounds of voting by paper ballot at the committee meeting to get down to Mike Moon being selected by a majority. There were, I believe, five candidates that were up for that, so it was actually fairly heated. But once Mike got through the primary, the county pretty much solidified behind him. He was a good choice. There were other good people that we were debating to put in that position, but my wife and I supported Mike Moon, and the county went behind him as soon as he was basically put on the ballot.
Was Julie Rizicka's name in there?
No, she was not.
Okay. But now, Melanie, you're not in the district, are you?
No, I'm not, but I did work hard for Mike on that campaign that got him elected.
Yeah. Oh, no. I understand. I'm in Greene County. Yeah. Is Eric Burleson yours? Who's your representative?
I believe it's Kevin Austin.
Oh, Kevin Austin. Okay. So, yeah, I pretty much got you placed in Greene County where you're at now then.
However, Elijah Haar is very close by me, and I did call his office because I heard that he was blocking. I also called Richardson.
Right.
I don't know that did any good. I spoke to staff and a voice machine that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea. And again, I think it's imperative that we see the names on this discharge petition. We've got every member of this committee now saying, standing up, making claims that they backed Mike Moon's article of impeachment. And I think the truth is going to be in who signed that discharge petition. Okay, folks, we're running out of time here. We've made our case. You know, I'm asking you to send a message, and I'm telling you this. I am telling you this. With this appeal, with the publicity that we're shooting out on what we're doing here and what we're asking, when this is over, you will have sent a message. You will have sent a message, and that message will either be, we reject business as usual in our government, or we accept business as usual in our government. It really is that simple.
Dave, can I just make a point? Can I just make a point also? You can ask donors for money and get $1,000 or $5,000 from one person, but you cannot get someone booted out of office with that $5,000. You need voters. You need voters that are mobilized and infuriated with the situation. And that's what we're trying to get at with the message. It's not $10 is not very much money. You could easily ask for a lot more than that, but what we're asking is people need to be angry and they need to be ready to hold their representatives accountable. A lot of people. We need
That's right.
big numbers.
That's right. We need like Melanie says, we're not asking you for a lot of money. I mean, we can ask for $5. We can ask for everybody pitch in a penny. But the message has to be clear. That's why we picked $1 million and we picked 100,000 people at 10 bucks a piece to get there. The message has to be loud and clear and unmistakable. These people, somebody in Jefferson City needs to be look down at the waves and say, oh my gosh, these people are pissed. We better do something. Look at this. $1 million in $10 bills. That's a powerful message. And all we're asking from you is 10 bucks. All we're asking for you is $10 to send a message loud and clear. 347-677-1835. We spent the last hour laying our case. We're going to spend the first hour tomorrow doing the same thing. You're going to hear almost a repeat of what you've heard tonight. We're going to spend the first hour on Saturday, the first hour on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday next week, laying the case, talking about what happens, talking about why we're doing this. Now it's your turn. It's your turn to decide whether you are going to be part of the message or not. Well, to decide what part of the message you're going to be. Because the message is either going to be, we the people give a crap, or we the people don't. The message is going to be loud and clear. I don't even know, quite frankly, whether Jeff can win a race against Stanley Cox. Stanley Cox is certainly a well-known name in Pettis County. That's not what it's about. It's about the message. It's not about the money. That's why we're not collecting money here. We're hoping you make a pledge and follow through with it, you know. I'm telling you right now that one of the things the Stanley Cox campaign does the first day of every quarter is they pull up the Missouri Election Commission, Ethics Committee forms, and they see who donated to their opponent and how much money is in that pot. The message of money means something to Stanley Cox. The message of money means something to Julie Ruzicka and her sponsors. And all we're asking from you is a promise to send $10 to these two campaigns, to send the message. A message they will hear. I'm telling you, a message of $1 million in $10 bills for a small legislative district or a county judge seat is going to be a message that can't be missed. But this is it, folks. This is the altar call. This is the day of reckoning. This is when you say, I want to be heard. I want us to be heard. See, that's the deal. You can be heard, but you're a voice in the wilderness. I can be heard, you know, but listen, I come on here two nights a week, and I preach about state sovereignty. I've got enough common sense to look around me and know that nobody gives a crap what Dave Court thinks. You know, I've got enough sense to look around at what's going on and know that nobody cares what I think. If anybody cared what I think, well, things would be different, wouldn't they? Huh? But together as 100,000 people making a minimal effort together, we can post a message that can't be missed. We can post a message that cannot be ignored. I'm going to talk when we come back from this next break about how you can get involved with spreading the message, how you can get involved with keeping the $1 million message alive, at least for the next 10 days, so that we can reach out and get a little bit more involvement than we've had here tonight.
Gonna make it, baby. not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
You go fast and wrong for right and right for wrong. People on the stand for that for just so long. I don't have the gift of the prophecy.
Okay, folks, this is it. We're coming down to the end of the first segment of the Million Dollar Message. We ask you to go to Facebook. And like our page, the page is the Million Dollar Message, Million Dollar Message. I personally am tweeting this two or three times a day. You can follow me on Twitter at David Court or The Courthouse. You can follow Missouri Grassroots Coalition at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org or on Facebook at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. You can email me at DavidCourt@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. You can follow me on Facebook if you want to, David Court or The Courthouse. I want everyone who's listening tonight to go and like this Facebook page. We get more, the way Facebook works, you get actually more network possibilities the more people who like your page. That would be part of your part of getting this word out, of getting this thing networked, of bringing along five friends. But And this is a different night for us too. I mean, we're not usually on Thursday nights, so I'm not overly disappointed that we don't have a large followership tonight. I'll be a little more disappointed after we push it hard tomorrow night on tomorrow night's regular show and Saturday night's regular show if we don't have a slightly larger following next Thursday night. But I won't pretend not to be a little disappointed, though, that we haven't had much more participation. Surprised? Maybe not. I mean, you know, the Stanley Coxes keep going to Jefferson City. They've already basically pre-selected next term Speaker of the House. I'm going to tell you it's going to be worse than this time. And so that Speaker of the House is going to pick the Stanley Coxes and the other committee chairs. And that's going to be worse than this time. Until you, brothers and sisters, say to them, we are done with you. Until you say to every one of them, and this is a message that we're asking for, a message to every one of them. Yes, it's going to have direct and immediate implications on two people, one good and one bad. It's going to have immediate repercussions for two campaigns. But it's going to be a message to all of them. That's what we're looking for, a message to all of them. An unmistakably loud, unmistakably principled, unmistakably Republican with a small r, message to all of them that this state belongs to you and me. And when you open your mouth to speak for me, you better be damned careful what comes out of it. Because when you speak from the pulpit of this state's government, you speak for me. And you speak with my consent. That's the message, folks. $10 times 100,000, $1 million in $10 bills in any small district election is a message that can't be missed. A message that can't be missed is what we're after. No, we reject your politics as usual. And yes, we support your politics of the people. I'm going to bring Melanie and Eric on, I want to tell them thanks for their time tonight in the waning minutes of this program. They can still see what's going on the phone line, so they will still be available to take your calls. Go ahead and call in. But Eric, Melanie, I want to thank you guys for giving your time to this thing.
Well, I'm glad to be of help.
Thanks for all you do, and we'll carry on here. These two can't be here with us tomorrow night, sadly, because it's sure been fun. But we will have other volunteers here tomorrow to take your call. These folks aren't getting paid a dime. They are here because they believe in the message. They're here because they believe that the message is more important than any candidate, that the message is more important. And I want to reiterate here in the closing minutes of the show, okay, Mike Moon didn't call and ask me to raise $1 million for him. In fact, I guarantee you there's a treasurer of a small representative district that if we were successful would be pulling his hair out trying to figure out what the hell to do with $1 million in a state rep race. I mean, you know, there's some kind of laws and rules about what has to be done with all this money. about how it has to be accounted for. So I mean, it's not about the money. It's about the message. Jeff Middlehauser didn't even call and ask us to raise $1 million for his campaign. He doesn't even know it's coming. This is about the message. It's not about the money. Stanley Cox certainly didn't call and ask us to raise $1 million to beat him. So this isn't about a campaign. Why did we pick these campaigns? Why did we pick this issue? We could have picked anyone who backed the Second Amendment Preservation Act and one guy or woman who fought against it. We certainly can find Republicans who have primaries on both sides of that issue. You know, we could have easily picked the 0.1% tax cut in 2017 and found Republicans in primaries who opposed that and who favored it. But you know, what do we... There's no gray areas in this one. This is a black and white issue. This is 280,000 Missourians with no voice in the government. This isn't a dime on $100 tax decrease. This is the basic function of representative government. There's no gray areas here, folks. There's no gray areas. Stanley Cox is wrong. There's no gray area there. There's no arguing with Stanley Cox. There is no arguing. This is a dictator who decided that the representation in the government of 280,000 people was not important, was a non-issue, did not rise to the level of impeachment. No gray areas there, folks. So it's about the issue. It's about the message. It's about a wave of $100,000 bills, a message that can't be missed. I'm going to be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to do this again. Eric, you got anything you want to say before we sign off?
Well, I just want to say that for one, if nobody else calls in the remaining time of the show, I, for one, am going to send my $10 into both campaigns. And I drove all the way to Jeff City twice to deal with the circus of the committee hearings to get out there to testify as well.
Good.
And I was actually there to testify officially on the CCW issue, and I believe that that did actually have merit. But I also agree with you that of the three, the absolute most important was the voting issue, and that basically with that motion, with that resolution being buried, nothing else the legislature did this entire session has any merit. It is all a sham if we have a significant number of Missourians that have no representation.
Absolutely. That's exactly right, Eric. Everything that this legislature has done is, in my mind, and ought to be in your mind, illegitimate. Illegitimate. Anything that passed with a margin of plus or minus less than 5 votes ought to be ruled undone, in my mind. Thank you, Eric. I appreciate your time and glad, yeah, and thank you for driving up to Jefferson City. Thanks for attending those hearings. Thanks for being so active in making this thing trying to make this thing right. It's a message. It's a message that has to be sent. I mean, you know, and you know, I mean, Eric, you work hard. You work hard at it. And I know you're frustrated at times when you look around because we just can never seem to unify the message. You work hard. I know other people work hard. And it is so difficult to unify the message, isn't it?
Oh, I'm extremely frustrated. These people on the committee, it was their job to represent people in Missouri that had no other recourse. As you and Melanie discussed, the courts can't do anything about this issue. The only people that were able to do anything about it at all was the House of Representatives, and they decided that they weren't up to doing their job. And that's why I'm going to continue to support Mike through all of this, and that's why I'm have absolutely nothing good to say about the people that squashed that resolution.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for coming along. I look forward to working with you more in the future. We'll make something work here sooner or later. Melanie, you got any parting words?
I would like to point out that Mike Moon is a freshman. He worked hard to get on the state legislature, and he has been brave. He has been honest, and he has come up with probably the most important reason for impeachment. And if we turn our backs as voters on a brave freshman legislator and allow him to be defeated, we are sending a message that we don't care what the House of Representatives does, and that you cannot be brave there or else you will get voted out. And that is the wrong message, because that is business as usual, don't get anything done, which Republicans are accused of much too often. And honestly, it is too often true. People like Mike Moon we should be doing everything we can to encourage, support this type of legislator. I'm envious of Lawrence County because they have such a brave, wonderful freshman legislator who's really willing to fight for the truth. And no one's going to step up for these positions and be brave in the House if we turn our backs on them.
You're absolutely right, Melanie. That's something that I could not have said better myself. And this is it, folks. I mean, we're signing off now. The altar call is over for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. But like Melanie said, and like Eric said, you are sending a message. There's no two ways about it. We're asking you to send the message that this is not okay. We're asking you to send the message that we support legislators who do right by the Constitution, who do right by the people, and we reject legislators who don't. We reject legislators who think they are above the people. We reject legislators who think that they are dictators, that they are there to run our lives. We accept and support legislators who understand their responsibility in a representative republic. Now, the fact of the matter remains, you are sending a message. There is no two ways about it. You are sending a message. Think about what the message is that you are sending. You know, I was talking to my buddy, and look, I've really got to go. We're running out of time. But I was talking to my friend Lloyd the other day, Lloyd, who's been a guest on this program many, many times. And here it is, you know, I believe in the Constitution. I believe that legislators who don't follow the Constitution are bad. I believe that legislators who follow the Constitution are good. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the Republic. You send a message tonight. Talk all you want. You know? You send a message tonight. Now, you're going to get a chance to send a message tomorrow and the next night and 3 days next week. I'm not saying this is the only message, okay? I'm not setting myself up and saying it's this message or none. I'm saying here, right here, is a chance to send a message that can't be missed. Look, if you've got another way to do it, get on it. Give me a call. I'm there, all right? But I don't see any action anywhere in sending a unified message from the people of the state of Missouri that can't be missed. We all have our own little districts, and we all ought to be controlling them. We all have our own little districts, and we ought to be taking charge of our little districts. But I don't right now see any. God, I've got better things to do on a Thursday night. Melanie's got better things to do on a Thursday night. Eric's got better things to do on a Thursday night. You got better things to do on a Thursday night. All we're asking is 10 minutes. Log on here, make this darn phone call, and send the message. All we're asking for is $20 to send the message. I look around, and I don't see any other effort to unify this message. If you do, drop me an email. I'm there. You know, we have little groups traveling over the state now, you know, doing little educational talks. I don't berate that. That's a great, great, great thing. I'm pushing those things. I'm pushing those talks. I'm pushing those meetings. I'm with it. But I don't see an effort to reach out in one loud message across the state of Missouri and say in an unmissable way, in a message that can't be missed, we are the people and we are back. We own you. You don't own us. If you do, do it. But if you don't, understand this. You are sending a message to Stanley Cox. You are. You are sending a message to the Republican elite through Julie Ruzicka. You are. You're sending a message. You choose what that message will be.
There are so many contradictions in all these messages we send. Keep asking, how do I get out of here? Where do I fit in? Though the world is torn and shaken, your heart is breaking, it's waiting for you to awaken. Someday you will learn to